Okay, this is the ANC Report with your host, Ryan Dawson. Today's guest, repeat guest, is, I call him Michael Cathale. But he's got a Gaelic name, Michael O'Cathale, and he's a widely published writer and political analyst. He has his own blog, The Passionate Attachment, and he wrote an article for UNS.com about the Christian evangelicals who may be turning on the Israeli lobby. It's called The Israeli Lobby in Defense of Christians, and we're going to get into that a bit. He's been on antiwar.com, Arab News, Ford Magazine, Turkish Weekly, a bunch of things in Ireland, etc. Total nerd like myself. Michael, welcome back to the show. I want to ask you about your article in UNS called the Israel Lobby in Defense of Christians. And I think a lot of people saw the video with Ted Cruz giving his speech to this new group. There's a new group, as if they needed another one. But there was a new group formed because of all these Christians getting killed in the Middle East, and they were saying in defense of Christians. And so Ted Cruz came in to assure everyone that, of course, Jews and Christians and the state of Israel all have the same interests. But could you tell us, what did he say, or what was he supposed to be doing, and what was the reaction there?
The conference was organized by a group called In Defense of Christians, who described themselves as a non-profit, non-partisan group that was only set up earlier this year. And I guess most other people hadn't heard about them until Ted Cruz made the headlines with his provocative pro-Israel speech on the second day of the conference. It was a three-day conference held between September 9th and 11th in D.C. And so Cruz started out by saying, here, we're here in defense of Christians. And then he said, we're here in defense of Jews. And he got applause for that. But then he started to talk about, we're not supposed to loop together Hamas and Hezbollah that's what he called their state sponsors of terror, Syria and Iran, with ISIS and Al-Qaeda. But he went on to claim that, like Netanyahu does, that there's no difference between any of these hate-filled groups.
And he also looped together Christians and Jews with the state of Israel, which is just as silly.
That's exactly what the quote was. He said that Christians have no greater ally than the Jewish state. And that's when the booze started, and people... a lot of the Middle Eastern Christians in attendance asked him to stop it and get back to the subject. He continued to provoke the crowd, saying that it was the same group that was attacking Christians that was attacking Jews. And he said, as he left the stage, if you refuse to stand with Israel, I refuse to stand with you. He walked off. And soon after that, he contacted the neocon online magazine called Breitbart. And he accused the attendees of anti-Semitism.
He's supposed to be there. The theme is defending Christians, not defending Israel. And he couldn't separate the two. Israel attacked Christians when they attacked Lebanon. They bombed the Christian areas of Beirut in 2006. That's what turned the propaganda war against them, was when they were murdering Christians themselves. They've also been not only assisting the FSA and al-Nusra, who have been beheading and killing Christians, but ISIS as well. They have been attacking the Syrian state. They had ISIS members in Israeli hospitals near the Golan Heights. And they've been shooting down Syrian aircraft, which was attacking ISIS jointly, as the U.S. had been bombing ISIS as well. And so their main goal is fighting Assad, not protecting Christians. And they openly give guns, money, and healthcare to actual terrorists who are killing not only Christians, but other Muslims and everyone else as well. But if the theme is to protect Christians, the Israelis have never done that.
Absolutely, yeah. I think the more than 50,000, or 50% of Palestinian Christians who lost their homes in 1948 would beg to differ with Cruz's claim that the Jewish state is Christians' greatest ally. And as you mentioned, they've also bombed Christians in Lebanon on a number of occasions. Some of the patriarchs from the Eastern churches in attendance know that only too well. For example, the one of the attendees was Cardinal Rai Bashara Boutros Rai, Patriarch of Antioch, the Maronite Patriarch of Antioch, and he's been criticized for saying that Hezbollah has the right to bear arms. And also earlier this year, when the Pope visited Israel or Israeli occupied Palestine, Rai was criticized by Hezbollah for going to the Zionist state, and he said he was going home, and that the Christians had been in Haifa and the Galilee long before Israel. Another attendee was the Greek Melkite Patriarch of Antioch, Gregory the Third Lahm. Mm-hmm. And he's been also criticized by neocon media outlets. There was an article in the National Review online in 2010 entitled "Melkite Patriarch Absolves Islam, Blames Zionist Conspiracy." This was just after the Islamic State of Iraq, as ISIS or ISIL was then known, when it had stormed the Our Lady of the Savior Church in Baghdad during Sunday Mass, and after an attempted rescue, 58 people were killed. But soon afterwards, in a ceremony to commemorate that, the Melkite Patriarch Gregory, he said that it's actually a conspiracy planned by Zionism and some Christians with Zionist orientations.
They're right.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Well, on a macro picture, the Catholic Church, officially the Pope, condemned the second invasion of Iraq. Up to March of 2003, their position was against the war. And as a result of that war, all Christians, not only Catholics, but every different, doesn't matter, every sect, Protestant or otherwise, were forced either to flee as refugees or died. Over half of Iraq's Christians are gone, dead or had to flee. Yeah, and so the church had been opposing that war. And of course, the media just had nonstop stories about pedophilia, which, you know, screw them for that too. But the motivation for suddenly giving airtime to those stories was because they opposed the war, not because of what they had done.
Yeah, just to clarify that, apparently the Christian population of Iraq has fallen from 1.4 million to about 400,000 now. Most of them have ended up as refugees in Jordan and Syria. And of course, those Christians who fled Iraq after the neocon-induced invasion in 2003 are now fleeing the offshoot of that, the Islamic State, which is a direct result of the U.S. invasion of Iraq in 2003.
Which was based on Israeli policy papers to begin with. So it was a Zionist conspiracy to get into Iraq, and the occupation was based on that. They didn't secure the arms caches. They wanted sectarian violence. They fostered it. That was the Oded Yinan plan from the beginning, as was Syria, which was the third phase, which is happening now.
Exactly, yeah. And it's interesting that the executive director of this group in defense of Christians, or IDC, he's a regular contributor to the Neocon National Review Online. And in an op-ed in August, a month before, a couple of weeks before this IDC summit in DC, he wrote a piece entitled "Interventionist Duty." And in that piece, he wrote, "The intervention in the former Yugoslavia may serve as a compelling model today for Syria and now perhaps Iraq." But he said this would call for a willingness to see Iraq and Syria dissolved. And you mentioned there the Oded Yinan plan, Doran's prescription for the current crisis bears a striking resemblance to. In that 1982 essay, Oded Yinan, who was an Israeli journalist.
It's one of the most important policy papers. When it was finally translated into English, it really spells out everything that's been happening since 2003 to now.
Absolutely, yeah. It was originally published in Hebrew by the World Zionist Organization journal, Kivanim. And in that paper, Yinan argued, just like Andrew Doran today, he said, the dissolution of Syria and Iraq, later on into ethnically or religiously unique areas, such as in Lebanon, is Israel's primary target on the Eastern Front in the long run. So that plan seems to be going pretty well.
Also, they're not really even in defense of Jews, because Jews had lived in all parts of the Middle East for centuries. And then it was after a series of Israeli false flags which pinned the Muslims attacking them, why so many Jews in the diaspora fled to the newly created Jewish state of Israel. But the ones who were actually attacking them were the Israelis themselves.
That's right, yeah. I refer to that in the article at UNS.
And I hope people will get that and follow the links to that as well and read all of that.
It's entitled "The Israel Lobby in Defense of Christians?" ?
UNS is UNZ.com.
Z review, yeah, UNS.com, yeah. It's one of the latest articles. There's about three or four articles that have been published since it was published on October 2nd, but there have been a few articles published since then.
But it's exciting to me because the backbone of financial support for Israel isn't government, it's churches. The U.S. government gives them about $3.5 billion a year in direct aid, and that's been increased, $20 million here or there. And the Germans give them a lot of money. But Christian churches are giving them $6, $7, $8 billion a year. And you can find that information just by looking at the divestment campaigns. The Presbyterian Church, finally, after about a 13-year process, are going to divest from three major companies in Israel. I think it was Caterpillar, Motorola, and one other. But when you look at how much they're divesting, it's around $7 billion. And it was supposed to be 8.1, and that's a small sect. So you've got to imagine how much some of these other churches in America, the Baptists, etc., are giving to Israel. You can break that tie between Christian zealots and Israeli Jewish zealots, they wouldn't have the money to continue their aggression and occupation and apartheid state.
Absolutely. I think it was John Hagee, the nominal leader of Christians, Kufi Christians United for Israel, who said that, I think at an AIPAC conference a few years ago, something like with 5 million Jews and 50 million Christians, Israel is an unstoppable force in American politics. But as you were talking there about Christian support for Israel, I began the article by saying that Israel's friends have long since captured the sympathies of America's evangelical Christians. But actually there, if you click on America's evangelical Christians, there's a link to a recent article by Alison Weir.
From America's Only New.
And she talks about a recent poll which shows that the support for Israel among America's evangelical Christians is in decline, and that's a source of concern.
I think that's because of their recent child murdering in Gaza. They do that all the time, but you know, every couple of years the internet grows exponentially, and so finally people saw photos and pictures and video evidence of all these children being slaughtered by the Israelis. Because before it was written down, but now that the kind of Facebook meme generation can see it, can see what's been happening for 40 years, now they're getting appalled. I saw so many in the so-called alternative media, Stephen Molyneux, Paul Watson, so never say anything about Israel. Now they will. It's becoming safer to criticize Israel, and I think just as there's a number, when you've seen enough dead kids, that whatever was holding you back before, you say, no, that's enough. I saw people on the BBC jumping ship. They just went way off script and started saying, I went there and I saw these kids with their heads blown in, and describing graphically the girl with her eyes bashed in. Israel's own behavior and their own hubris is taking them down. And no one, evangelical or not, no even somewhat sane person with an ounce of sympathy, anybody who's not a psychopath that sees how they torture and murder wholesale their prison population neighbors in Gaza, they have to oppose it. They can't support that. There's not enough religious and theological rhetoric that can justify shooting four-year-olds in the head.
Right, but that's definitely a major factor. But also there's some great work being done among the evangelical community, especially people like the Reverend Stephen Sizer, who's written a couple of books, some of the best books on Christian Zionism, and also a number, maybe what's reached more evangelical Christians. There are a number of good documentaries have been made in the last couple of years. For example, With God on Our Side, Little Town of Bethlehem, and The Stones Cry Out. So there's a lot more awareness among American evangelicals about their own beliefs and about how Israel flagrantly contradicts those Christian values.
They make fun of Christ on Israeli TV shows as comedy, and they don't care about Christians in Israel. Just as long as the money comes, they're fine. Same with America. There is no benefit to the relationship with Israel. America gives them all this money, all these guns, goes on wars on their behalf, and the only thing they get in return are more demands. It's like a wife is beaten by her husband and just comes back for more. That's the relationship between the United States and Israel, and the U.S. is the beaten wife.
Yeah. Well, in the case of evangelical Christians, they've been indoctrinated by the so-called Schofield Bible, which appears to have been funded by one of the leading early Zionists, Samuel Untermeyer. It was written by a convicted felon called Cyrus Schofield. Most evangelical Christians would have be using that book in their Christian colleges. Basically that, it's a reference, so-called reference Bible, and it adds Zionist footnotes to the King James Bible. long before Israel was even created, it was saying that things like, those who bless Israel will be blessed, and to curse Israel is to commit the sin of anti-Semitism, and so on. As I said, through the work of people like Stephen Sizer in Britain and some evangelical activists in America, more and more evangelicals are waking up. But this conference was aimed more at the Orthodox, in the Middle East. About 65% of Christians are Orthodox, and I think about 27% are Catholic. So this was an attempt by Israel and its friends to show empathy for these persecuted Christian churches, and to try
to have the event culminate on 9/11.
Exactly,
which is blamed on Muslims.
Pure coincidence that the conference. Even if you look at the summit, it's a 3-day summit that was held September 9/11. I'm sure that was just a coincidence. But if you look at some of the people involved, and as I was saying, the executive director, Andrew Dorn, he formerly worked with the State Department, but I think more importantly, he's a regular contributor to the neoconservative National Review Online, and the editor at large of the National Review Online is Jonah Goldberg. Goldberg was a protege of Ben Wattenberg at the American Enterprise Institute,
which was the parent group for the PNAC group.
Exactly. Yeah, it was. They had out of the same offices, and it's the Iraq War has even been called the American Enterprise Institute War, because so many of the so-called scholars at the American Enterprise Institute.
All the pre-war lies came from the AEI. I mean, they all did it.
Yeah, Crystal and Kagan and so on.
And Schmidt.
So the editor at large of the National Review Online, which the In Defense of Christian executive director contributes to, was mentored by Ben Wattenberg, and he was a political advisor to Henry Scoop Jackson.
That brings it full circle.
Exactly, the senator from Boeing, in whose office the neocons were incubated. Most of the leading neocons they worked in his office in the 1970s, and the likes of Wolfowitz and Pearl, and I believe Faith and Abrams and so on, who were later basically took over and the second Bush administration. On top of that,
They were all officers in the Pentagon. You had
with
the exception of Abrams. They all were, yeah.
He was in the National Security Council, yeah. Mm-hmm. In charge of I think democracy or human rights. That's actually hopefully I'll get
Pearl was the chairman for the Defense Policy Board.
That's right, yeah.
And Feith ran the Office of Special Plans, which, I mean, literally wrote the script for the war in Iraq.
Exactly, yeah. About Abrams, this all comes full circle, if I can keep track of all the dots here. But I just wanted to finish off about Jonah Goldberg first. The editor of the National Review Online. And so his mentor was Ben Wattenberg at the American Enterprise Institute, who advised Scoop Jackson, the grandfather or father of the neocons. More of a front, I guess, for the neocons. But Goldberg's mother is Lucy Ann Goldberg. And it was Lucy Ann Goldberg who advised Linda Tripp to advise Monica Lewinsky to keep the stained dress and to record her conversations with Bill Clinton. And And that the Lewinsky scandal was used by Netanyahu at the time to distract Clinton from putting pressure on Israel to come to a settlement with the Palestinians.
And to bomb Iraq, and he did. He bombed Iraq as he was being impeached. As soon as they found out they were not confirmed the impeachment, within hours he stopped the bombing.
Right, yeah. There's always a couple of advantages to any Israeli strategy, getting back to Jonah Goldberg. So his wife then is the former chief speechwriter and political advisor to the former Attorney General John Ashcroft in the Bush administration, who was the opening keynote speaker at the In Defense of Christians summit.
Among many other things, yeah.
Yeah, so we mentioned Abrams there.
He's an Iran-Contra clown.
Exactly. He was pardoned for lying to Congress about his role in the Iran-Contra affair,
which was a joint operation with the U.S. and Israel.
Well, I think it was probably more like the Iraq War. It was probably more initiated from the Israeli side,
yeah.
and their friends in the American administration. But
fair enough.
There's an Abrams connection to this In Defense of Christians summit. So Andrew Doran, the executive director of In Defense of Christians, he has he's often cited Nina Shea, who's a senior fellow at the Neocon Hudson Institute. She directs the Hudson Center for Religious Freedom. And in the 1990s, she worked with Michael Horowitz, a former Reagan administration official, in an effort to put the issue of Christian persecution on the map. And Horowitz was renowned for his favorite soundbite at the time was Christians are the Jews of the 21st century. But Horowitz, in 1995, he wrote an op-ed for the Neocon Wall Street Journal, entitled "New Intolerance Between the Crescent and the Cross." And according to an article, 2001 article in the Washington Monthly by Joshua Green, titled "God's Foreign Policy," and this was the start of this Christian solidarity movement. Horowitz continued to work on Capitol Hill, which led to the Wolf Specter. The Freedom from Religious Persecution Act in 1997. That was co-sponsored by Frank Wolf and Arlen Specter, two Jewish members of Congress who are well known as supporters of Israel. And
Specter helped cover up the Kennedy assassination too. I do want to say I appreciate and I love how you are naming all these articles and names and institutions instead of vaguely just saying the New World Order or globalists or some nonsense like that. This is the kind of reporting I like to get into, talking about actual people and documentation, what they did and why.
Absolutely, yeah. Name the names, let's be clear what's the source of these lies that lead to American wars.
You mean it's not big oil?
Yeah, no, I'm not.
But Chomsky told me this.
Chomsky and Greg Palast, whose sister runs an Israel lobby organization.
Palast's sister. Chomsky's just a regular gatekeeper, yeah.
Getting back to Horowitz's work, there was an article written by Christianity Today, which called him, I think it was a Jew who was saving Christians or something like that. anyway, this Wolf Spector Act led to the creation of the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom, and that was I think in the beginning, at one stage, it was led by the Iran-Contra intriguer Elliot Abrams, and it's currently chaired by a daughter of the late quote true blue and white unquote Israel mouthpiece and infamous interventionist Tom Lantos.
Famous for the babies on incubators BS.
Exactly. It was Tom Lantos who knowingly brought the daughter of the Kuwaiti ambassador and had her coached by the Hill and Knowlton PR firm on how to lie about what Iraqi soldiers were supposedly doing, the atrocities they were supposedly committing in Kuwaiti hospitals. She was known as Naira, that's become known as the Nurse Naira, in quotations, lie that led to the first Gulf War. So yeah, you can see the same names cropping up again. So as I said, Andrew Doran, the executive director of In Defense of Christians, he's been an associate of Nina Shea and the Hudson, who earlier worked with Michael Horowitz, and what was it? She was the one that introduced Ted Cruz to the summit, also after the
who got booed off the stage.
After he got booed off the stage, the IDC issued a press release, which was, I think it was called something clarifying Senator Cruz's walk.
It was damage control, and
absolutely.
The problem is, it's on film, so you don't have to take their word for it. You can just watch it and see. It wasn't a bunch of vocal hecklers or something. It was pretty much the consensus of the room that no, you're not going to get away with this tactic again, conflating Jews and Christians in Israel. Two of them are religions. One of them's country.
Absolutely, yeah. As you said, it was a clear attempt, a blatant attempt at damage control. If you look at that press release, you'll see a common such a small and vocal minority. It you know, supposedly criticized Senator Cruz for choosing to stand against the small and vocal minority who disagree with his views on Israel, rather than wait for this, standing with the vast majority of those who attended the gala and support both Israel and the Middle East Christians. Well, anybody who knows about Middle East Christians would know that's a lie. But
I'm gonna play that audio at the end of this, so
right, okay.
You guys don't have to go searching for it.
And that press release, I think, very fittingly ended with by quoting Nina Shea, who is she's well known and as a Right Web profile on her said she's a long track record of using human rights concerns to promote various foreign interventions favored by neoconservatives.
Ah, just like Obama.
Well, I think, you know,
we bombed Libya for humanitarian reasons, and we went into Syria for humanitarian reasons. If you say humanitarian, it's like magic sauce.
Well,
now it's okay.
I think we should distinguish between the likes of Obama and Nina Shea. I think Obama was, you know, reluctantly has ended up getting himself in embroiled in these interventions.
He's more of a coward that goes along with it. The others are true believers.
Yeah. So that In Defense of Christians press release, it concluded with a quote from Nina Shea, the Hudson Institute senior fellow, who said, we will not agree on territorial disputes. I wonder which territorial dispute she was implying there.
Maybe it's the country with mobile borders.
Ever-expanding borders.
Infamously known as foreign country A.
America's greatest and Christian's greatest ally, allegedly. But she said, we stand united against religious persecution, regardless of the religion. So, you know, I think...
Hate speech too, but yeah.
Right. Yeah. There's, you know, it's a good example of how this non-partisan group in defense of Christians, I think, is one of the latest attempts by Israel and its friends to exploit the persecution of Christians. And there's a quotation from Jeff Blankford, there's a comment by Jeff Blankford.
He's a regular on this broadcast.
Yeah, probably the leading expert and critic of not only the Israel lobby, but Chomsky.
Well, he took on the ADL and he won in a lawsuit.
Exactly, yeah.
The only person, I think.
That's right, yeah. I've got the 13th comment on the article at UNS. Blankford says...
Yeah, get in there and comment, people. This is fun.
Plug. So he said, Israel and its supporters have a long history of pretending to support other people's struggles, real or imagined, when it has been useful to Israel's interests. I think also he continues with another important point that contradicts the claims of the IDC Executive Director Doran and its president, Tufik Baklini. Blankford writes, what should be noted and what's excluded from the U.S. media is that the leading Christian party in Lebanon, the Free Patriotic Movement, which is led by former General and President Michael Aoun, it's been in alliance with Hezbollah for the past decade, and that their alliance received 55% of the popular vote in Lebanon's last national election. Aoun has said, the Maronite Aoun has said, were it not for Hezbollah, Israel would overrun the country. So I think...
It's Hezbollah fighting off the Israelis in 2006 while the Israelis were bombing the Christian areas in Lebanon.
Exactly, yeah. So no wonder Ted Cruz's pro-Israel PAYEN provoked the ire of the Middle East, Middle Eastern Christians in attendance.
He looks so shocked, too. He's like, what do you mean you're not buying this?
Yeah, I wonder whether whether he knew what he was doing or not, and whether he thought he was speaking to a typical Christian evangelical or Christian Zionist.
Well, he thought maybe like people who don't actually live in the Middle East and don't have to live it, you know.
Yeah.
They might be more susceptible to the rhetoric because they don't live there. They don't know.
Or as some suggested, he may have been just speaking to his own Republican base, so that, you know, he looked like a hero for standing up for Israel against this anti-Semitic crowd from the Middle East.
Anti-Semitic for wanting to protect their own from persecution.
Absolutely, yeah. Obviously this In Defense of Christians group, they're claiming to speak for the Middle East Christians. There was an article in the Washington Post on the second day of the summit before Ted Cruz had made international headlines with his speech. He spoke later that evening at the gala dinner. But Andrew Doran, the IDC executive director, was quoted as saying that one Orthodox leader on the previous day declared his opposition to military action to stop the Islamic State militants. And he said that's a view that is not likely widely shared at the conference. And he said the next day another Middle East Christian, called The Arab-Israeli Conflict, The Root of Middle Eastern Chaos. And he said he doesn't speak for the IDC nor his brother patriarchs.
So he's not towing the party line. He doesn't count. I want to interject something here, too, about ISIS. And if the U.S. was really sincere about going after the so-called Islamic State, I call him JASIL, but if they're really sincere about that, step one would be stop sending all the weapons and money to the FSA, which has for years been ending up in the hands of ISIS, which we know means sent to ISIS. And step two would be to tell Qatar and Saudi Arabia to knock it off. And maybe they won't, but if you don't take that step to at least attempt to tell them to knock it off, then you can't really claim that that they're not wouldn't do it or wouldn't obey or whatever. And so if we don't stop the aid of guns and weapons, how can we skip all those steps and go right to bombing Syrian infrastructure and saying, oh, we're trying to bomb ISIS?
Right. Well, there's it's also referred to in my article, you know, that makes Israel's position on Syria. Israel likes to feign indifference to the conflict in Syria. But the former Israeli ambassador to the U.S., Michael Oren, in an interview with the Jerusalem Post, just after he left his job, admitted that that the strategic arc made up of Hezbollah, Syria, and Iran poses the greatest danger to Israel. And he said in that interview that we prefer the bad guys who are not supported by Iran and Syria and Hezbollah, as opposed to the bad guys, i.e. the so-called modern Syrian rebels.
And Assad.
and Assad, exactly.
I mean, there's another layer of stupid to all that, them claiming to be neutral, because Israel's had five different airstrikes in Syria during the conflict over the years, most recently shooting down a Syrian aircraft.
Who just happened to be firing
ISIS.
bombing the al-Nusra, yeah.
Oh, al-Nusra. I mean, they're all a bunch of beheading groups, you know, cutting off heads. There's no real difference morally between ISIS and al-Nusra.
No, and you only have to look at, say, who has been the leading voices, who have been the leading voices for getting rid of Assad and for supporting the so-called moderate Syrian rebels. It's people like, you know, the leading Israeli asset in U.S. Congress, John McCain. Mm-hmm. And as I revealed last year, McCain's visit to the kidnappers of Iranian pilgrims in Lebanon.
Oh, his nice photo op, yeah.
Yeah, that visit was arranged by the Syrian Emergency Task Force, which was led by a guy called Muaz Mustafa, mm-hmm. who just happened to be associated with the Washington Institute for Near East Policy, which
forgot to erase all his URLs too.
Exactly. Yes. The URL for the Syrian Emergency Task Force, which is supposedly representing Syrian rebels in D.C., was Torah Academy, Boca Raton, BR for Boca Raton. They also, the Washington Institute, APAC think tank, also created a group called Fikra Forum. Mm-hmm. You know, if you look at Fikra Forum, there is no mention of its link to the Washington Institute, unless you start to look at its contributors and about, you know, two thirds of them.
Well, we covered it on this show, you and I did, and
that's right.
So we got that at least. But there was a piece, Justin Raimondo, who I like most of the time, had a bit on it, and that bit of information was missing from his report.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't think he omitted it. I think he wasn't aware of it.
Well, I mean, even if he hadn't read my report, a couple of months after Max Blumenthal
Oh, yeah.
defended Muaz Mustafa's lame arguments that he wasn't a Zionist. He said, call me anything, but don't call me a Zionist. And he claimed that, you know, he couldn't go back to Palestine and so on.
Quietly retracted that, though, didn't he?
I don't think so. No, he blocked me from on Twitter. But Blumenthal.
Congratulations.
thanks. But Blumenthal tweeted that you know, Muaz Mustafa had denied my claims. But about 3 months after that, he had an expose in Mondo Weiss, writing about the Syrian Emergency Task Force connections to the Israel lobby. So I find it very hard to believe that Raimondo or anybody who's following Syria would be unaware that John McCain's visit to the terrorists, aka and known as the
Freedom Fighters,
the Freedom Fighters, that
the rebels, they call them. Like, come on, they're mercenaries.
Are being supported by
a terrorist is independent, though. I mean, a terrorist is doing it for their own ideology. These aren't terrorists. I mean, they commit terrorist acts, so they're terrorists, but in that way, but they're mercenaries because they're getting paid by outside sources.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
By states. They're privateers. That's what they are. But yeah, okay, so maybe he was aware of it and he didn't put it in. I don't know. I'll try to have him on.
Okay, yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah. I like him otherwise. I like Max Blumenthal, too. I don't like what he did to you, but I think, you know, his work on the African migrants in Israel and other things are spot on, so nobody's perfect.
Except you and me, Ryan, right?
Oh, of course I am. Of course you are. Thing is, when I screw up, I admit it. And when I don't know, I say I don't know. So.
Yeah.
But I don't have as much writing on it as those guys, perhaps. I don't know. I still like your work, though. But yeah, but you'll notice why I have guys like you and Jeff Blankford and others on the show more often than others.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I agree with them more. I try to have dissenting voices, but they won't do it. I'd love to have a Zionist on the show because I would own them, but, you know, they know better, so they don't come.
Surprise, surprise. It's funny, they go on Russia Today, they go on Crosstalk every so often.
And they get burned, too.
Absolutely, yeah. It's like the opposite of what happens on American media, where, you know, if you ever...
Yeah, three against one, and you only have 2 seconds to talk. And
exactly, yeah. So I'm surprised they're more afraid of you than they are of Peter Lavelle.
Well, it's because I do these, like, one-hour interviews one-on-one. There's nowhere to hide. Whereas they know they can hurl up enough accusations in the kind of format on Crosstalk that by the time, you know, you spend debunking the bull, they said, you can't really go on the offense that long.
I suppose.
I don't know. Like, plus, Russia Today is just a bigger medium. They figure, oh, I'll be on TV and blah, blah, blah. But I've had Peter on my show a few times, so
yeah,
those have been excellent interviews. But I don't know, maybe I'll go on Crosstalk with Peter and we'll bash neocons together. How about that? I'll have time to do it because I'll be in LA soon. But anyway, getting off track here, though. I hope that we can defend Christians and everyone else in the Middle East. I hate having this sort of as a definitions, like, it doesn't matter what your faith is, whatever. You shouldn't murder people at all. So pretty basic, you know, quit killing people. If we had adults in the room, that's how it would be. But now we have ISIS and al-Nusra. Not to mention a number of other terrorist organizations all over the Middle East. They get covert support from the CIA and NATO. And there just seems to be no end in sight. However, if the Christian base in America especially, and followed by Canada, which might be a lost cause, if anybody's more Zionist than the United States, it could be the Canadians, unfortunately. But if that could break, we could see major policy changes, because that is their prime base of support. It's 50 million of them versus 5 million Zionist Jews.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think that's why what we talked about earlier, that, say, Alison Weir's article is very encouraging. And it's very...
She'd be a great guest to come on and talk about that very article, actually.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, I'm sure she'd love to.
And her site. Yeah, it'd be good. Well, I appreciate your time tonight. I like another reason I call you up is usually we're on the same time zone. So you're here in Japan as well for now. But are you going back to Ireland soon? Or?
No, I just came back from Ireland. Yeah, so.
Oh, good. Good. Then let's hang out later.
Okay.
All right, man. Well, I appreciate your work. And again, the other articles from you are up on UNS, and I'll link to those below. And now, don't go anywhere, folks. I'm going to play the audio from Ted Cruz and what he said and how he got booed off the stage.
Good evening. Today we are gathered at a time of extraordinary challenge. Tonight, we are all united in defense of Christians. Tonight, we are all united in defense of Jews. Tonight, we are all united in defense of people of good faith who are standing together against those who would persecute and murder those who dare disagree with their religious teachings. Religious bigotry is a cancer with many manifestations. ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Hezbollah, Hamas. And their state sponsors like Syria and Iran are all engaged in a vicious genocidal campaign to destroy religious minorities in the Middle East. Sometimes we are told not to loop these groups together, that we have to understand their so-called nuances and differences. But we shouldn't try to parse different manifestations of evil that are on a murderous rampage through the region. Hate is hate, and murder is murder. Our purpose here tonight is to highlight a terrible injustice, a humanitarian crisis. Christians are being systematically exterminated. In 1948, Jews throughout the Middle East faced murder and extermination and fled to the nation of Israel. And today, Christians have no greater ally than the Jewish state. Let me say this. Those who hate Israel hate America. And those who hate Jews hate Christians. And if this room will not recognize that, then my heart weeps that the men and women here will not stand in solidarity with Jews and Christians alike who are persecuted by radicals who seek to murder them. If you hate the Jewish people, you are not reflecting the teachings of Christ. And the very same people who persecute and murder Christians right now, who crucify Christians, who behead children, are the very same people who target and murder Jews for their faith for the same reason. I will say this. I am saddened.
Please respect for dialogue. Respect, please, okay. We're in America.
I will say this, I am saddened to see that some here, not everyone, but some here, are so consumed with hate that you cannot address your brother. I will say this. If you will not stand with Israel and the Jews, then I will not stand with you. Thank you, and God bless you.